Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to organizational health and the world of work. I'm your host, Pat Lencioni. Why did I say Patrick Lencioni before? I don't know. And I'm joined by Tracy Noble. How are you doing, Tracy?
I'm doing just fine today, Pat.
You know, Tracy, after our last podcast, we realized that you didn't say anything, which is fine. You know, we're no pressure on you, but we talked beforehand and I didn't realize that. So today, Tracy, we're going to have you just do a monologue for the entire
awesome.
Episode.
It's hard to get in a word with the three of you extroverts.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're gonna make that a little easier now. Bo and Cody, how are the guys from Utah doing?
We are buried in snow, but excited for the podcast. Can't get outside.
I feel both terrible that I talk so much Tracy can't talk, but possibly more terrible that we would make her talk if she doesn't want to. So
it's more the latter. You guys know that. So I'm kidding about the extrovert thing.
That's right. We did talk about that a while back. We're like, Tracy, you just jump in there whenever you like, but you have good stuff to say. Matt is on. Matt, you could say hi this time. How you doing, Matt?
Doing great.
Very good. Well, I talked to a lot of people to listen to the podcast and they were like, hey, I like it when Matt jumps in too and what he says. By the way, speaking of our podcast, we get so much great feedback and lots of great reviews. We appreciate that. But I'm not going to lie, the bad reviews are way more fun to read. My kids and I go on Amazon and look at my book reviews and I've been very blessed that people really like the books. But it is so fun to go to the one-star reviews and see what people say. And so what are some of the funniest reviews, that negative reviews we've had for the podcast?
We got one recently by someone named Fell Off the Table. And it just says, Pat is a bozo.
It almost sounds like they created their account specifically so they could say something about the table.
I think they must.
I'm going to talk to Laura, my wife. That may be hers.
And then we
any
got
other
one.
Good ones?
Yeah, we got one a couple months ago by someone named Sewage Trash. And the entire review was just the word "why" and then an arrow pointing to a garbage can.
Okay, we appreciate that one too. We appreciate all
sewage
feedback.
Sewage trash gave us 2 stars out of 5.
hey, that's awesome. He could have given us
all very constructive, actionable feedback. Uh-huh, so we exactly. will incorporate that into this episode.
All right, Bozo, the trash can. Very good. It is fun. I mean, you know, and we like to get feedback. We get a lot of great feedback, but it's fun to look at that stuff too. And everybody has different thoughts. And today we're going to talk about what, Cody?
Word salad.
Yes, word salad. What's that about? It is about exactly what you think it is. It's about word salad in the workplace. And what is word salad? For those that don't know, it's when people say things that have no meaning. Because the idea that salad, you know, lettuce has real no nutritional value. It's just water. And if you just eat lettuce, you're not going to get anything. And word salad is just a bunch of words that have no meaning, that don't do anything for anybody, and people use them. And we hear about politicians using them all the time. And it's there's something about like a car accident. Like you go by and you got to kind of look over and you don't want to, but you want to see what's going on. And somehow every time I hear about, listen to this politician say, we use word salad, I go there because it's just hard not to watch it because it's almost hard to believe, but there's actually big cost to word salad, especially in the workplace. And that's what we're going to talk about today.
Well, that's what I was just going to bring up. When you say the word salad kind of doesn't do anything, I would disagree to say word salad makes me feel stupid. When somebody is talking and I don't understand whether they're using jargon or they're just talking for the sake of talking, I feel like, am I the only one who's missing it here?
Hmm. Yeah, that's the first thing. It's insulting. Mm-hmm. It's insulting. It's so insulting that I want to hear what Tracy has to say about that.
It's very insulting. I think I want to start with talking about the reasons why people use word salad. Because I think that's an interesting way to kick off this conversation. Why do people do it?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think one reason I'll just throw out is that they're being dishonest. Mm-hmm. They're trying to distract you like, wow, just look at all these words over here. And they're not really telling you the truth. Mm. And so that can be a way they're kind of like, I just am going to fill up this space and say a bunch of things and not have to speak the truth. So that's one. Mm-hmm.
I think another reason is it's what everybody else is doing. I spent a bunch of years working in public higher education, and I can't tell you how many conference sessions and meetings I was at where people are just reciting the same things over and over because it's the culture of that environment to talk without saying anything. That's why I've continued to do that on this podcast.
or Bo, it's an effort to impress your audience. Mm-hmm. I think that's somewhat related.
Which is particularly gross because you're sitting there going, you realize I'm losing respect for you as you do this, and you think you're winning me over.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, it's kind of sad to watch.
I'm even thinking as you're saying this is like, because my emotion, I don't often feel as like, I do get what you're saying. Like I feel insulted, but I get frustrated because I start to perceive that as like a, like you said, Pat, a distraction. There's something behind it. It feels dishonest. And then when it's not substantive, because I actually, we talk all the time about organizations that need to repeat their core values over and over again, over communicate them and go out there and constantly reiterate the things that are important in the organization. But that's because there's substance behind it. And when there's, it's almost like you could take the phrase, like, if you don't have something nice to say, say it's better to say nothing at all. And say, if you don't have something of significance to say, it's better to say nothing at all. Mm-hmm. But too many leaders feel like they have to get up and they have to just say something for the sake of saying something when they don't have the clarity of why is this important? Why should people be listening to this? What are the stakes? You know, what's at stake if we don't say something?
You know, and I think that speaks to the last one of the, another reason is that sometimes it's just laziness. I didn't prep and I don't need to, I can just go up there and do the same thing. You know, I'm doing a graduation talk at a college and it's in about a month and I'm going to start preparing now. I've already got thoughts about that because you can go up and do a graduation speech. We've all been many to and said, you're the best and the brightest. You're going to change the world. You should be proud, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And man, when I go to graduation talks and they do that, I'm always just like, oh my gosh, I'm losing time off my life that I'm never going to get back. Mm. And so I think it'd be better if somebody came and said, hey, good luck, congratulations, I'm out. That would be better than filling it up with a bunch of word salad.
I do. I hear two things there. One is if we feel pressure to fill the time, meaning I feel like I've got to say something, then you end up just saying a lot more nothing. Being precise often means being shorter, which takes more work. And I really agree with you, Pat. A lot of it comes down to laziness. And maybe we don't understand the cost that a lack of precision or intention with our words impacts the people we lead, the team around us. Because we leave the room nodding because it all sounds good without any idea of where we're actually going, what we're saying no to, what we're chasing, what we decided.
Right. That's right. And as one of the founding fathers, Abe Lincoln, said, Cody, I'm sorry this, and people will say, did he not say, I'm sorry this letter is so long, I didn't have time to make it shorter. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes it's about prepping and really filtering off or boiling off the stuff that doesn't matter and getting to the meat of the message.
I like the way you set this up, Pat. I think the idea that it's called salad for a reason because there's less nutritional substance to it, like that it's if it's just purely lettuce. And Bo is shaking his head as his family embraces a more vegetarian lifestyle than most.
Anti-salad business is killing me.
It really should be word lettuce.
Yeah, word lettuce.
It should be like just the lettuce. Because, you know, I mean, and Matt will tell you that he eats salad. He likes hot dog salad. He grills up some hot dogs, cuts it up in a bowl, and eats it. Hot dog salad. So there's great salads, but the lettuce is the part that has no nutritional value.
I might even go word celery because it's disgusting and there's no nutritional value to it. So we'll go with word celery. But I think as you were talking, Pat, because I'm wrestling with this idea of like, yeah, leaders do need to, you know, inspire and repeat themselves often and go up and rally the troops around what's important in the organization. But I think as you're describing, it's like, even it's about conviction. I feel like when people get up and just say things for the sake of saying things or use buzzwords the way that they've heard them used in other organizations, if you hear a leader go up and say the same thing over and over again, but they're convicted about it, there's substance to it. There's actual value to that conviction. But oftentimes when you see someone use a word celery salad type speech, you leave feeling like, man, that was all fluff. There's nothing behind that. I don't believe you. And then it starts to breed a level of distrust on the team or in the organization.
And that's key here, is there is a cost to word salad. And a huge one is it breaks down trust. You think that person actually thinks that this is effective and that I'm buying this. And they think, as Matt said before, that I'm so stupid that I'm not going to notice that what they're saying is meaningless. That is, it's like, oh no, I had no idea they thought so little of me and that they think that I'm okay with this.
I think that when you're on a stage where there's a bunch of people listening, you can kind of get away with it because people aren't likely to interrupt you. But I have watched you, Pat, kind of break through this word celery, word salad, word hot dog salad. Talk about something with no nutritional value, a hot dog salad. Anyway, where we were in a room with a group of executives and they were at a very successful company who've done a lot. And one of them was saying something and you said, I don't understand. And then they kind of explained it again. And then you just pushed through again. You said, no, I really don't know what you mean. And I think the average person would have just listened and kind of nodded their head. In fact, 18 other people in the room nodded their heads. And then maybe another leader would have said, I don't understand. But that you said it twice to push through to be like, I don't know what you mean. And then you know what happened? Around the room, other people were saying, yeah, I didn't know what he meant either. I don't know what you meant either. Just the takeaway for me is so often we're not the only ones confused. And if we'll just kind of lean in and say, now, what does that really, really mean? It actually gives clarity to everybody else who's sitting there listening.
Yes. I thought you were going to, the tone of your voice, it looked like you were going
to continue. It did feel like I had another sentence and then I couldn't come up with one. And it felt like the wrong episode to fake it.
Yes, exactly.
And so what I'm saying is,
you know, I think that the most practical thing we can say to people about word salad is if you're a leader, beg your people to tell you, if I say something that sounds like word salad, whether you think I intended it or not, please go, hey, you know, that last thing, that was kind of, there was no nutrition there at all. Either I must have missed it, or can you say it again? Because what you never want somebody to do is walk away from an interaction, a meeting, a speech, a reading in your email, and thinking, oh, that was just fluff. And so sometimes we don't intend it to be word salad, it just comes out that way. And we want people to say, hey, bozo, this is trash, you know, and you want to be able to go, oh, okay, I didn't intend it that way. If it came across that way, I'm sorry. Let me tell you what I really meant. But if nobody challenges us, boy, if you're an emperor with skimpy clothes on, you want people to say, dude, you got to put some more clothes on. And that's the best thing you can do, is get your audience to give you feedback when you're towing the line on word salad.
Let me ask a question here. How do you deal with the word salad concept in relationship with when you're in a relationship with a person and they're using it as a manipulation tactic? Because I think that happens often. It's almost like gaslighting.
Oh, I was just going to say it's gaslighting, isn't it?
Wow.
Yes.
Tell us, Tracy, what about the connection between word salad and gaslighting.
Well, they're using words as a distraction. They're trying to make you look someplace else. Shine the light on something else. And it's manipulation. It's frustrating.
Yeah. And I think the thing is, okay, if it's a person that you care about or you have a relationship with that matters, you have to push and you have to go, hey, I don't get it. I don't get it. And if they go, no, other people get it. I don't understand what it is. You have to say, well, then I'm the dumbest person in the room and I still need to understand it. And oftentimes, you know, you got to have grace for people. They're having a bad day or they're feeling insecure and you got to give them that chance to go, yeah, I guess I just didn't say what I really meant because I was afraid. So keep working through that. If you do it with a person enough times and you realize that that's the most they can do. I mean, Tracy, you and I have worked with a person in the past who, not at the table group, but who was the queen of word salad.
Yes.
And it was so disconcerting because you'd think like, I didn't hear anything in that whole speech. And other people would just leave and go do stuff. And so if you're in a situation where you have to work for somebody and that's what they do and they gaslight you afterward, over time, you've got to find a different relationship. But most people, we want to give them grace and they'll say, yeah, I guess I felt a little insecure, or maybe I was afraid of how you'd react, or I guess I'm just using words that I've used before and I thought people would get that. Give people a chance to learn through this. But when you do find that person who can't change, that's a real problem in a relationship.
Mm-hmm. I also think, Pat, it's so interesting when you say that, that I think generally speaking, if there's a actual well-intentioned leader, a lot, we're talking about like where it's manipulative, but sometimes there's well-intentioned leaders or friends or colleagues that you have that kind of think that they're being clear, think that they're having, you know, the conversation they're having is substantive and it's actually not. I do think that there's so interesting to consider that communication is more on the communicator, less on the hearer, that it's like, hey, if what you're trying to say in that speech or in that relationship, and your excuse is like, I guess they're just not getting it. I love what the advice you're giving is like, just push through and say, hey, maybe I'm not as adept at understanding as some of these other people, but I have some questions. I didn't get what you were saying. It's not clear to me what the action item out of this meeting is. And so I think that if you're someone who's experiencing that, even a well-intentioned person, to say, hey, it's on the, it would be like you getting down from a speech, Pat, and no one in the audience got the message of the speech, and you saying like, well, that's kind of on them. No, the answer is it's on the communicator. You know, like, you need to get better at being precise and substantive with your language. It's not on the hearers. It's not their responsibility to do that.
Absolutely. And that's why it's gaslighting when somebody says, no, I think that's just you. Yeah. You got to go, well, okay. I mean, have you ever had this happen? I saw it happen on a TV show the other day and I did this years ago because I didn't understand technology and I worked at a technology company. I went to the engineers and I said, I really want to learn what our technology does because I want to explain it to all the other employees in the organization like me who don't get it. Mm-hmm. And they started talking and I was like, they were like, well, it's all about batch processing. I was like, I don't know what that is. And then I'd say, pretend I'm 5. I literally got to the point where I said to these guys, I want you to pretend that I'm 3 years old. So I know some words, but explain it to like a 3-year-old. And they were like, well, you're an idiot, but I'll do it. And then I was like, oh, now I get it. I finally get it. And so they weren't actually trying to word salad me. They just didn't understand how to explain it. So sometimes we have to be the one to say, okay, maybe it's my fault, but give it to me again.
And your position there was not trying to make them feel bad or assuming the worst in them. You had a posture of curiosity, actually a desire to serve them, to be like, I really want to understand what you're saying. Because listen, I know that I have sometimes been processing something and not had precise words about it. What I want is team members around me who help draw out what is the core message, what are the real verbs. What is the thing that we're actually trying to say?
Yeah. Hey, I think it's fair to say right now that we are terrified of that this podcast would ever sound like word salad. Because, you know, you can ask people questions about work and they could be like, well, I think it's all about communication and mutual trust. And I think that if people, you know, and it can be like, that was just a bunch of nice sounding words. Every time we do a podcast, when we plan it, we say, is there a handle here? Is there something practical? Is there something useful? And we have gone through and thought, that's about 3 minutes worth of actual useful stuff. And, you know, that's like there's two radishes in there and the rest is lettuce. That's not a podcast. So we try our best. If it sounds like word salad, it's not because we're leaning into that. We're trying our best to make sure there's plenty of hot dogs in the salad, so to speak.
The other thing that we try to do on this podcast is unearth things live. Which, Pat, you are an excavator. And so we don't come prepared with the bullet points, ideas of what we're talking about. We have a topic that we're engaging in and processing together live, which in a great work context or relationship context, there should be space for that. Where again, the words aren't precise yet, right? Abraham Lincoln needed, I don't actually think it was Abraham Lincoln who wrote it, but he needed more time to be able to get it shorter. So let's have environments where we help each other be able to take some of the fluff and cut it out to get it to be the most helpful.
Yeah. So I guess what you're saying too is a person's motivation for word salad really matters. Hmm. Maybe they're just trying to figure it out and they're just thinking out loud. Maybe they just really don't understand that the words that they're using, other people don't. And some people do it for less, you know, accidental reasons. And that's a big difference. Start with grace. Always start with grace on that. Do we have an unpaid advertisement today?
We sure do. Our last episode, the unpaid ad, was for whiteboards, which I'm the big fan of. And one of the challenges in the virtual world is writing on a whiteboard where then everybody who's watching on Zoom can actually see it. And I was having a hard time in a meeting. You know, you're writing in your whiteboard and everybody's like, I can't really see it. And then somebody gifted me a whiteboard marker. It's called the V Board Master, which is just a great, bold, dark color whiteboard marker that's showed up really, really well on Zoom. And it's my new whiteboard, favorite whiteboard marker is the V Board Master.
Like the letter V?
The letter V, then the word board, the word master.
I got to get some of them.
As it turns out, it was just your illegible handwriting that was the problem. But I like the I like the marker idea.
Very good. Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it. And we love your feedback, even if you think I'm a bozo or this is trash. Okay. God bless you. We'll talk to you next time on At the Table.